Okay, well, last time we spoke about Mishumer Neva. I mean, if a person didn't follow the Dinah Shemitah, he either guarded his produce or he worked the land. And the short version of it is that those are Mutter Binyan. Okay, the Mishumer Neva, the Din Lamais is that it's Mutter. Now we're going to talk about more serious. So we just mentioned it in passing last time, and that is Svichin. Okay, and Svichin is. That what the word sviach is used in the Torah. It says a sviach ketzircha sviach ketzircha something. Okay, anyhow, it says it uses the word sviach regarding Shemitah, and sviach means something that grows by itself. Okay, something that grew by itself, no one planted it. So the min haTorah, the way we pass them, min haTorah sviach and a mutter. Okay, something that grows by itself on Shemitah, no one did anything wrong, it just grew by itself, it's mutter. The Chacham were concerned that people would plant things. And they would say, "Oh, it grew by itself. I didn't plant it. It just grew by itself." So that would be their own. You know, they would pretend that it had grown by itself. So Chacham said, anything that needs to be replanted every year, and anything that needs to be planted, if it grew by itself, it's also anyhow. So that means is that vegetables and spices and grains and herbs, all these kind of things that every year you have to replant them, then they're also even if they grew by themselves, they're also anyhow.
Why didn't we
get there
like that for this specific?
Very good question. So Shlomo, I wasn't sure if I should say this or not.
Why are they playing somewhere a person can do something wrong and say, "Oh, just have me like that"?
I misunderstood your question. Someone asked from Zalman, he said, "How come Mishum of the Nevar are Mutter and Svich and Aser? Why did Chacham Aser one, but not the, one and not the other two?" That they asked him this question. Correct. Guarding your parents is also mitraiza, and not letting anybody take your parents is also mitraiza, and working the land, it could have been anything, whatever you did. Maybe you pruned your grape trees, and so then those parents don't get usher. So why not? He said, "What's the difference between them?" Okay. So I would have thought the answer to the question is by svichin, if not for you, there wouldn't be a plant altogether. Okay, svichin means that someone planted it, not that it was mishumer benevet. It's just the plant was there. And if he did the wrong thing, he may have made it been better fruit, made a little more fruit, but when I planted tomatoes, if not for me, there wouldn't be any tomatoes. Okay, so I can see that as being more serious.
When were these planted? Before Shemitah?
No, on Shemitah.
How they grow?
Tomatoes?
Yeah.
Plant tomatoes.
I mean, a lot of water, something.
Svichin?
Svichin. Svichin was on what?
Things that grew by themselves.
Yeah, how common is that?
Oh, it's very common. Seeds get left on the farm. Yeah, things just grow. Yeah, just the other day I passed fields that were growing one thing, and there were pieces of corn growing up in the middle of it, and some seeds fall on the ground. They just grew. So the Xeris that I would have planted, if not for me, there wouldn't be any corn here at all. And now all of a sudden there's corn growing here, so that's maybe. Okay, but Rosham Zaman says the answer. He explains it like this, just for your curiosity. He answers like this. He says, it's for two different reasons. He says, Mishumer, the reason why they didn't answer is because when someone would guard his field and not let somebody in, that's a very public thing. You don't hide that you're being shown your field. He says, so there's nothing to be gozer on. We're not gozer for the person doing it publicly. We're being gozer for someone who's trying to surreptitiously. He's just trying to like sneak it by and not let anybody know. So
surreptitiously.
Okay, however the word is. Okay, whatever.
Serendipity is something.
Okay.
Serendipity is speaking things that grow on their own.
Okay, fine. All that. And he says, Nevad. He says, Nevad. The reason why they didn't ask you Nevad is because if they would ask you Nevad, things that people had worked the land on Shemitah, they would have had to ask her. That means if a person would have worked his peach tree, they would have to ask her the tree. Well, that would have this really long-term effect on the person. It would be also for years, I mean, forever. Because if he did work on the tree, if they ask her things that someone had done work on the land, they'd have to ask her. Sometimes that would mean asking the tree for good. And that sounded like too serious. So since to ask her never, they would have had to ask her the whole item. Not just, you know, if you were a tomato plant, they could ask the tomato plant. But never on a tree means a long-term thing. They don't want to make it so far, so they didn't ask her. That's what he says. Okay. So whatever the answer is. So this isser called Svichin is probably the most serious issue people have to consider when they go out to buy food on Shemitah. Okay? Again, Mishumer Neva doesn't ask for the food. But if I want to buy food and it's potentially Svichin, then that's for most people, that ends up being the most serious thing that they have to do. Today, we're going to talk about how the issue of Svichin affects, I use the word consumers, but I mean people who consume product, how they have to think about that, which is how we usually think about it. Next time, Mr. Shem, we're going to talk about Svichin, how that affects farmers. Some very unexpected things from next time about how Svichin affects the farmers. Okay, today we're talking about people who want to use the Svichin, okay, which is what most of us think of. Okay. Okay, so knowing what the svara was, why they asked it svichin, they asked it svichin because they were afraid people would plant and pretend that it had grown by itself, plays a big role in the dinim. I'm going to give you five applications that the svara has in making the din. Okay, well, how the logic for the iser plays a role in the details of how the iser carries itself out. Okay, so the first one is something you would guess, which is, well, since the iser is because people might plant something and pretend that it grew by itself, therefore it only applies to things that get planted every year. It doesn't apply to trees. Okay, so oranges are not svichim because nobody plants oranges every. You don't plant orange trees every year. You have to plant tomatoes every year, but it doesn't apply to things like fruits. Now, in that,
I'm missing something with Xera.
Again?
The gzera is that we're afraid someone's going to plant something and say that...
Pretend.
So what's the point of the pretending part?
Well, because he looked like a bad person, right, had he planted a whole field of corn. So instead he just says, no, this stuff just grew by itself. He doesn't look bad.
When nobody's looking.
He's walking around at night dropping seeds on the floor. How are they... stop people from doing that. They stop by saying, even if it grows by itself, you can't eat it. So you would have nothing to gain by that. No one's going to buy your stuff, or you won't be able to eat it yourself. You'll look bad.
The seeds grow on Shemitah. The seeds coming up on Shemitah. So you know.
So like, oh, that must be us. Don't take that in. You can't eat it.
It's in the field. It wasn't 6 years old. It grew on Shemitah.
Okay, so now, in this rule, for these rules, it depends on what has to be planted each year. It does not depend on, for Hilchos Brachos, what's considered a pre ha'etz. Okay, so, and the example is, Chaim Kineski, Shamsam talks about this, you have bananas. We pass them in the Der Hadama. But for these purposes, they're not in the din of Svichin, because you don't plant banana trees every year. They grow for a number of years. So therefore, a banana, in this respect, bananas are like trees. That they will make a Bar Pri Adama, but they are like trees in that they don't get planted every year, and therefore, there's no chashash that if I see a banana growing, I say, oh, we have to worry that someone planted it this year. Okay? And similarly, berries, which we also make hadamas on, also they grow for a number of years, so they're not in this gzira to say that they should be also because someone might have planted them, because they're the kind of things that grow for many years rather than something that grows just for one time.
Watermelon?
Watermelon is a plain old hadam and it gets planted every year. It planted every year. It's like, okay, you put seeds in the ground. It grows on the floor. Okay, now, the next thing is, there's a Mishnah that refers to something, but everybody calls it the Arba Sadas. Four types of fields, there are four special fields, four unusual fields. They're the types of fields that nobody plants anything on. And since nobody plants in these types of fields, therefore there's no Isser Sifin for things that grow on those fields. Now, it sounds very odd, what I'm saying to you now. I'm going to save it, but for next time. Next time I'm going to hear about the very unexpected nafgamina that came out of this din. Again, the answer is because you might plant something. If it's a field that nobody would plant on, then the Chazal didn't ask for those fields. Okay, we're going to find those Arab Sadis that have a special enough community.
Oh, it's Otto Shenyanokov.
What?
It's Otto Shenyanokov.
That depends. It depends on whether there is, we're going to talk in a second about whether there's a Kiddush Shavuos to that. It depends on that. If it is, then it is. If people plant it. If people think of it and it's considered something with Kedusha Shvi'is, then it is. These are types of fields, not like Otsu Shein Nukov. This is not just types of fields that nobody would plant in. We'll do it next time. Okay, it's a mission. We'll talk about it next time. Okay, the next thing is, what happens if you have foods that usually are not cultivated? Okay, it's the kind of foods that grow wild, and nobody ever makes an effort to cultivate these fields. Tomatoes are cultivated, and cucumbers, they are, but there are things that grow...
Are you
yeah, sure. No, I'm I was going to say that. Give me a second. So the Mishnah's got a long list of foods that are like that. Okay. The Mishnah's got a long list of foods. I was going to say, just give me a second. The Mishnah's got a long list of foods that are included in this. Okay, but the list of foods is not important to us, even if we can figure out what all those words meant. It depends on what practically in your day people do or don't cultivate. Okay, it doesn't really depend on what is. So even if we knew what all those words in the Mishnah meant, it wouldn't be so negative. Some of them we do. But... And because of what I just said, Chaim Kineski talks about it like this. He says, mushrooms are something that grow wild, and it used to be that they were known. There's no such thing as cultivating mushrooms, and people would just eat mushrooms. However they found them, they would eat mushrooms. And since it was like that, he says, it used to be that, he has a long clear about this, but he says it used to be l'chayra that mushrooms would qualify as something that grows wild, and that there's no iser svichin on them because... they grow wild and nobody cultivates them. They qualify for this thing.
In the Yisra Kedusha Shemitah, mushrooms, we say Yonkim and Ravir, right? And it's a Mecha Shahakal on mushrooms.
I don't remember. I think he talks about that. I believe there are. I believe he talks about it. I don't remember. I don't know what he says. But he says, but nowadays, we don't, the bulk of mushrooms are not eaten, are not the ones that grow wild. The mushrooms now are very much cultivated. People have whole factories, or if you want to call it that, farm factories of making mushrooms. And therefore, he says, even though in theory 100 years ago it might have qualified for this thing, nowadays it doesn't. Now, so this reason for why mushrooms shouldn't be sweetened doesn't apply anymore. But if you remember, we have a combination of a few things. When we learned Hilchos Tehillim, we talked about the way they grow mushrooms nowadays. Okay. And the way they grow mushrooms nowadays, in some of the ways that they grew, we spoke about it then, some of the ways that they grow mushrooms qualify as Atashen and Akub and Zerei Papayas. And we talked about a few times ago that things that grow in the greenhouse may have no Kedusha Shvias to them. And we're going to talk about in a minute that things that have no Kedusha Shvias also don't have Nesha Svichin. Okay, so if we put all the pieces of the puzzle together, if we have the right kind of a growth that qualifies for a thing that would be Zerei Papayas and Atashen and Akub, like in the right kind of ways, then it won't have Kedusha Shvias, and it won't have Isser Svichin either. Okay, I hope I didn't lose everybody on that one. Okay, so Chaykeski is talking about from this Cheshvin, should it be considered not Svichin because it grows wildly and no one cultivates them? But he says it doesn't. Nowadays it doesn't. But it might qualify from a different reason, from the way we grow them nowadays. Okay, and the other last thing I wanted to say was, what Rabbi Eisenberg had said was, an example of things that nowadays that we don't cultivate is dandelions. Okay, everyone's got dandelions. I shouldn't say that. Maybe I'm insulting you. I've got lots of dandelions on my grass. Okay, growing wild on my grass. They're all.
I have my gardener cultivated
against them. Okay, we got lots of dandelions growing all over the place. I'm picking. There are people nowadays who consider it medicinal, and there are lots of people who eat them, or eat parts of them, or make teas out of them, all kinds of things that they do with them. So that would look qualify as a food that the bulk of dandelions are not. No one's cultivating them. I mean, I guess maybe there's somebody who's a farm out there that grows dandelions. Baruch Hashem, we grow plenty of them. So we those kind of foods, Lachari, would not need the Isser Svichin. Okay. Okay.
We used to watch people. Remember that? We used to watch people. People would come by, just three, four older European kind of walking by with a bag and walking through all the fields.
Really?
Pulling up the dandelions, putting them in the bag.
Really? And then they build you for the garden. Right? Okay. Fine. Okay. The next thing, the fourth Afrin is like this. Yerushalmi says, declares about it, and basically comes to the conclusion that there's no Isser of Svichin on Tevin. Okay, what's Tevin? Tevin is, in English, a straw. Straw is used for we need it for this case to understand. Then it's straw is when you have grain growing, if you cut off the top of it, the part that you want to eat, the stalk, the grassy part of it that's left is called Tevin. Okay? It's not eaten by people, it's eaten. It's Michael Behemoth. So the Rosh Cirilio on his period on the Yerushalmi says, what the Yerushalmi is talking about is there an Isser of Svichin on Michael Behema? Okay, we know that Isser of Svichin on things that we eat, but the Shaila in the Yerushalmi, which in the conclusion is that there is not, is did they make the Isser of Svichin on Michael Behema? Now, Michael Behema has Kedusha Shvias to it. Not just Michael, but Michael Behema also has Kedusha Shvias. But the clear of the Yerushalmi is, did they make it a Xer of Svichin on Michael Behema also? And the decision is, no, there's no Isser of Svichin on Michael Behema. That's what he says. The Chazanish says he doesn't understand it. He says, what should be the difference? If the Isser is, they ask you the food because you might plant it, well, people plant things for their animals also. Animals have to eat, so people plant for their animals. So what? It's smarter. There's no reason why Michael Behemoth shouldn't have the same thing. But that's a logical question, he's saying. But then he brings a bunch of rayas that it's not correct, a number of rayas that show that really there is an Isser speaking of Michael Behemoth. One of them I'll mention to you is, there's a din, we're going to talk in a second about what happens for produce that grows into the eighth year. Okay, and it technically does not have the din of Svichin on it. We'll talk about that in a second. But technically it doesn't have the din of Svichin. And the Rambam brings over there that because it's technically not Svichin, you're allowed to let your animals eat that produce. Since it's technically not Svichin, we'll find out in a second what it is. It's technically not Svichin, animals can eat it. So he says, so you see that if not that it was Svichin, if not that it was a special category of the eighth year, you would not let your animals eat it. You see that Michael Behema is an Isser of Svichin. Okay, so he has a few rights like this. That
there is animals eating Michael also.
Yes, you could argue like that. So but he says that he has a few rights. Like each one of them, you could talk about them, and he argues that there is an Isser of Svichin on Michael Behema. Rosh Hashem Zalman accepts that. He takes what the Chazar says at face value. And Tzitzel Yezer, he's not so convinced. He brings a lot of others who argue on this. And the Rashi Shemiri is the obvious one who argues. He's right there on the Gemara. Others don't like that. And I forgot to explain to you. The Chazanish says, well, what about the Gemara? The Gemara is talking about Tevin. This is what the Gemara is clear. It's like this. Tevin is a byproduct of the grain that grows on the top of the stalk. So the grain on the top of the stalk, is Aser Es Svichin. That's for sure Aser Es Svichin. So since the main part of the food is going to be Aser Es Svichin anyhow, you didn't have to be worried that someone would plant tevin just for the stalk of it, because the main part is not going to be edible anyhow. The main part is going to be Aser. So since the main part will be Aser, Chacham didn't need to Aser the stalk also, because it's only a secondary part. So tevin and a few other cases that the Gemara brings are all secondary to something that will be Aser Es Svichin, and therefore it's mutter. What happens if I have something that's completely Meichel Behema? It's not secondary to the Meichel Behema. The whole plant is a Meichel Behema. Then the plain old Gzeira applies there. Okay, so tevin is a special case. Tevin is not an example of a Meichel Behema. It's an unusual Meichel Behema, which is a byproduct of a Meichel Adam.
So he's saying the initial Gzeira was on the...
No, nobody would plant... The Chacham are making a Gzeira because they're afraid you might plant.
Right.
If we say, if you're going to plant wheat, and you're not going to be able to eat the wheat, so we don't need to ask for the grain. The stalk, no one's going to plant the wheat just to get the stalk out of it. If I'm not about to eat the wheat part of it, you don't have to ask me on the stalk, because I wouldn't plant it just for the stalk. I can't eat the wheat anyhow. Just for the stalk, I wouldn't have done it. If I was growing something else that is just for animals, I'm growing alfalfa just for animals, then maybe I planted alfalfa just for my animal. Then you have to be going through it.
Again, the question at stake over here is there shvius in general,
No, there is kedusha shvius in Meichel Behemoth, for sure. Yeah, that's for sure.
Is there
shvius on it? So Yerushalmi seems to be asking the question, is there shvius on tevin? So Chazanu said no. But what Yerushalmi is saying is like this. Of course there's an Issa Svichel on Meichel Behemoth. But here the Meichel Behemoth is only secondary to the real thing you're planting. Therefore, Meitz and Nechum didn't have to answer that thing, because you wouldn't plant it just for the secondary part. So that,
why would you not allow to let your animal eat Issa Svichel as opposed to every other Issa in the world that you let your animal eat?
Good question. I'm not sure. That's a good question. Okay. Good question. I'm not sure. But last thing is like this.
It's another kosher to the animal.
Right, okay. Okay. Our last nafkamina before we move on to the next part of this is that we're going to find out when we talk about kedusha shvius. When we talk about kedusha shvius, we're going to find out that there's a very pretty well known, a big machlokes as to whether if a guy owns a field, whether his, in Eretz Yisrael, whether his produce has kedusha shvius or not. We're going to talk about that when we get to kedusha shvius. Everybody agrees. What? That there is no Iser Svichin on that produce. Okay, so it may have Kedusha Shvius, but all agree that there's no Iser Svichin on that produce that grows by God. The reason is because, Ram explained, the Iser Svichin is because you might go plant it. And since you might plant it, Chacham said, we're going to ask the food so you won't plant it. Well, those kind of rules of, we're going to ask you food if you can plant it, don't affect Gaim. Let him plant whatever he wants. He's not hearing what Chacham said. He doesn't mean anything what Chacham said to him. So therefore, there's no point to ask her something that grows in a Gaim's field. The notice is Svichin on Makros in Gershon. So, because of this din, that there's no Issa Svichin, one of the ways that people in Eretz Yisrael, who don't use the Het Mechira, how do they get fresh vegetables? The way they get vegetables is, one of the ways that they do it is they go to fields that Arabs own. Okay, they go to the West Bank, somebody just go to Aza, and they go to a place and they go to them, the guy's growing tomatoes, and they buy tomatoes from him. Okay, it's not Issa Svichin. It may have Kedusha Shvius, we'll find out about that, but that's livable, so to speak, I can deal with that. But if it would be Svichin, I couldn't eat it at all. They go to fields to Goyim, and they buy food from them. So
how come they say it would be Svichin? They cultivate it, they plant it.
They for what?
But why does the whole question of Svichin come in?
Well, if I grew it myself, of course it's Svichin. Svichin is, even if you didn't grow it.
You grow it yourself.
What?
You didn't grow it yourself, the guy grew it.
Right, so if it's all by itself, if it just grew by itself, let's say I have just my backyard, plant just comes up. That's Usher. That's right. So the guy is not worse than by itself. You know? Okay, so
if the only problem is Mr. Sweetest, and then how can you buy it from there?
So we talked about that last time. You finagle your way how you buy it from the Arab. Okay, you find your way how to get it from the Arab, how you give them the money. We there are ways to deal with that part of it. But that's workable. But if it would be Svichin, it's just Usher, I can't do anything. There's nothing. Okay, so now, one part that has to do with this thing is the sitting in this room is that this needs hashgacha. If I'm going to say I'm going to go buy cucumbers from an Arab, okay, well then you have to make sure you're really getting it from the Arab. And if I walked over to his field, I could get it. But if I'm buying it in the market, obviously you understand what's going to happen. The Yidden who can't sell the produce are going to give it to an Arab and tell him that he should sell it. Okay? So it needs hashkacha. It needs hashkacha to make sure that it really is grown by the guy. That's obviously, okay? And that depending on how security goes in Eretz Yisrael, whether that's possible. Can you send a mashgiach really at the farms to make sure they're really bringing his cucumbers and not the Yid's cucumbers that he just diverted to this person? Okay? That's what. But there was a more fundamental issue. Okay, this first happened, the way it seems to me, in the Shemitah in 1910. Okay, about 100 years ago. Okay, tough Reishayin. Okay, it was this is the year that first happened. And Rav Kook wrote a letter, a listening letter, you'll see here, so it works, about doing this thing. Okay, you could read it as it goes by. What do you say? I try to slow down, you should be able to read it fast enough. Okay, you can read it, I'll give you a second. It'll take 35 seconds. Okay, the time is going to stop at the end, last paragraph. You can read the last paragraph. Okay, so he says, Cook says, he says, I don't understand. He says, how can you go buy from the Arabs? How can you support them? He says, here we are trying to build up the Yishuv. We're trying to support people living in Eretz Yisrael. And by going ahead and spending money to go buy from the Arabs, he says, you could read it. I mean, he goes on and on. I'm not as poetic. But if you could read what he has to say here, he says, he can't imagine how somebody could do something like this. That he can't imagine how somebody could possibly go ahead and buy from the claim. And really, what's going on here is like this. What's going on here? He writes to Chaim Berlin, asking him that he should stop people from doing this. Okay, Chaim Berlin, if I understand correctly, was the head of the Ada at that time. Or from the head of the Ada, from the old Yishuv, and he was trying to get him to stop these people from doing this. So what's going on is like this. Well, really, there's a fundamental issue. We're going to talk about it when we get to the Het Mechir. It's going on like this. There's an Isser in the Torah of Lo Sichanim. We're going to talk about it when we get to Het Mechir. Which is, you're not allowed, one of the things that means is you're not allowed to give goyim chaniya b'karka. You're not allowed to help establish a Eretz Yisrael. You're not allowed to sell them land. So the people who don't want, like the Hetam Mechira, say, it's an isser to sell the goyim piece of land. You're saying, take my land. There's an isser, they say, an isser deraisa, to give the goyim piece of land. Cool. So that on the, if I could use the word, on the technical, what it says in the Torah says, don't sell them a piece of land, and you're selling them a piece of land. And Rav Kook's argument was on the other side, which is from the hashkaf of it. What is the Torah saying? It says, don't let the goyim have a beachhead in Eretz Yisrael. Don't let them in. Keep them away. He says, so by supporting their economy, you're building them up and making it easier for them to stay in Eretz Yisrael. So maybe on the technicalities of it, you haven't been over on Lo Sichanim. You didn't sell them a piece of land. But what you're doing is giving them a foothold in Eretz Yisrael, giving them some kind of support. Well, if you're doing that, that's the whole third point, is it doesn't want the going to live in Eretz Yisrael. So it's a place for Yidden. So by doing this, you're supporting the living there. So from the hashkafa of it, you're being over on Lo Sichanim. The other side was, well, from the technicalities of it, we don't want to be around the technicalities of Lo Sichanim, which is the settlement. Okay, we'll get there. But we typed it. Yeah. Okay.
Because we typed it. Maybe it should be dead. Cook is what he.
I looked at it. It doesn't
be cook at the back. It says a cook at the end.
I'll look at it again. Hey, okay, anyhow. So
what's the alternative? What do you want?
So, well, he wants. I don't know if you read the Bein Hebrew. We finished the sixth sukkah of Shemitah. He said, "Let's do that to the Hebrew." What he said, don't eat vegetables. Go out from Chutzar. There are other options we'll talk about. When we get to the Mechira. But okay, fine. Okay, see now, I want to tell you a few other details, and not so much to get to the reason of Svichim, but have to do with it. The first is like this. We had mentioned some time ago that the Isser Svichim does not apply to the lands of Oily Bavel. Okay, there are parts of Eretz Yisrael divided into two parts. We had said then, the Oily Mitzrayim, the Oily Bavel, the parts that were captured when Eden first came to Eretz Yisrael, and the smaller amount that were captured by the Oily Bavel, the smaller amounts, to the Isser of Svichim does not apply in the lands that are only from the Oil of Mitzrayim. I got that backwards. From the Oil of Mitzrayim. Okay? Now, well, we said when we looked at them that the only lands that we can say with certainty are those lands are the ones in Ever Yardin. Okay? And Ever Yardin, of course, is controlled by Goyim right now. So it doesn't help us. This thing is not going to help us. There's no Issa Svichim on the lands of Oil of Mitzrayim that has such an argument because in Goyim's lands is anyhow no Issa Svichim. And all the lands of Ever Yardin on the other side of the Jordan are all controlled by Goyim anyhow, so it doesn't really help us. If there'd be a Yid who owned a farm in Jordan, then we'd have to deal with it. Okay, fine. Now, the next thing is like this. The Rambam says, his words are, and this din is, Kol ha-svichin asurim b'achila. Okay, that's how he says, Kol ha-svichin asurim b'achila. So the Sha'ar Melech says, he's medayit from that, he says, the Rambam says, it's all asur b'achila, mashma, that there's no isur hanah on svichin. There is an isur achila, but there's no isur hanah. And the Chazon accepts that, and many accept that this deal that the Sha'ar Melech makes. But Reb Chaim Kineski says, he says, I don't understand. He says, I believe you. He says, that it's mutter b'hanah. He says, but what exactly hanah did you have in mind? Okay, and I'm going to list you off now. For each one of these, he says, he brings a riot that each of these is true. That all the following hanahs are all usher. He says, we can't feed it to animals, that we spoke about. You can't plant it. You can't sell it to Goyim. You can't use it for medicine. You can't use it to dye clothes, and you can't make it to make clothes. He says, so exactly, each one, I'm not going to them, but each one of them has a right, each one of them that is true. He says,
the reason why doesn't answer?
What?
If it's Mutter B'Hanah, why would those be answered?
So he says, well, what does it mean that it's Mutter B'Hanah? He says, okay, you tell me Mutter B'Hanah. He says, but all these things,
why can't you die close? Why not?
I don't want to get to him. So each one of them has a right, why not to do that?
So he's
nicely, okay, wait, time out. What's going on here is like this. The Chazanish took what the Sha'ar Melech says. Okay, so it's, if you look at the Sefer, he doesn't ever argue the Chazanish. Okay, so it's not a matter of, he can't say the Chazanish, he says, but I don't get it. He says, I don't know what the Chazanish is talking about. He says, good, what Hanua did he have in mind that you're allowed to do? All these, most of the signs are actually from Chazanish.
So
that's a question. He's certain fire you can't use it for, and certain you can use it even if it's also Hanua. Okay, so he comes out, so he says, he doesn't get what kind of Hanua are we talking about that it's Mutter B'Hanah. If you want to say it, you're right. All these could tell you that it's not Asur B'Hanah. That's true. You want to say it's Mutter B'Hanah, but what Hanah are you going to do with it? So the one he can come up with is, you can't sit on it. Okay? It's Mutter B'Hanah means you can sit on it. You put a bags of, like, you know, bags of watermelon seeds on the floor. You can sit on it. You're right. You can sit on his watermelon seeds. He's not so convinced. Okay? But Rav Shlomo Zalman and Rav Asher Weiss ask very similar questions to this, and they have a different hesper, which fits in with what we said before him. They say like this. It depends what kind of svichin you have. If you have svichin where the hanah is the primary use of the svichin, like for example, alfalfa is meant for animal food. So the primary way you use svichin is you have hanah from it. You feed it to animals, or you dye clothes, or whatever the different things are. The primary use of this thing is for svichin, is for the hanah, then hanah is asur. If it's only a secondary use that you have hanah from it, that's when hanah is mutter. Which fits in with what we said beforehand, which is, when Yerushalmi said that Tevin has no Isser Svichon on it, it's because they only asked the Isser Svichon on the primary use of the food, because figuring, if you won't be able to use it for the primary use, you would no longer plant it. If it's only a secondary use, they didn't answer it. So it's not that Hanah per se is Mutter. When Hanah is secondary, which it often is, if I have a corn growing, the Hanah I can have from corn to light it and make my menorah out of it, that's secondary to the fact that I want to use it for eating. So the secondary use is sort of like Tevin. It's not that Hanah is really Mutter. It's when Hanah is only secondary to the main way you use it, that's when Hanah is Mutter. Okay. Two other things like this. It's things that are Michael Adam and Michael Behemoth have Kedushas Shvi'as. Things that are not eaten by people or by animals don't have Kedushas Shvi'as. So you have a tree that doesn't have any fruit, it has no Kedushas Shvi'as to it. So,
flowers.
We're going to talk about flowers. Flowers not for now. When we get to Kedushas Shvi'as, we'll talk about flowers, have a special rule to them. Today, we're not talking about flowers at all. The person can assume that something that has no Kedushas Shvi'as has no Isra speaking on it either. Okay, now, that point that I just said is not completely logical, because the Isra Svichin is chamur fe, you would plant something. Well, if I plant this thing for some other reason, I don't eat it. Let's say I like to look at it. Okay, I plant it why wouldn't they be chashur that I plant them? You're not allowed to plant those things on Shemitah either. You're not just not allowed to plant food items, not allowed to plant anything on Shemitah. So why would they chashur that I plant that also? But seemingly the svara is that if something doesn't have kedusha shvius, then it's not in sort of the rules. You know, it's out of the book. The book, oh, these are the things that our shmita applies to. If shmita doesn't apply to it, then all of the shmita don't apply to it. Even though the svichin rule should have applied to it, because svichin is really so that you won't play it. But somehow, if it's out, it's out. Once it's not in the rule, these are the things that have kedusha shvius. That's like what counts. If it doesn't count, then it's not included even for the svichin part. Okay. One last thing is,
what do you do with svichin?
You actually have to destroy them.
Okay. But it has to
choose.
You can't destroy it.
So there's a question. That's a good point. The Chazish talks about that. Are you allowed to be destroy svich and be dayim? Because it has to do shvius, and now destroy shvius. But on the other hand, because the chacham asked this food, then by its nature, it's not edible. It became not edible. So now things that are not edible, you're allowed to destroy. The Chazish is specific about that. Whether is there an isser to be ma'avid svich and be dayim?
Okay. That
means
it no longer has
kedusha shvius. That which is when we get kedusha shvius. We'll talk about that. Okay, so that's the question. Okay, the you would think now we had said some time ago that the way you decide the status of a vegetable, I mean the status is how do you decide whether it's a shmita vegetable or not shmita vegetable depends on when you harvest it. Okay, so if you have tomatoes that are growing and you pick them from the field today, then they're 6-year produce. If you pick them in a month from now, they're going to be Shemitah produce. Okay, if you pick them in the 8th year, they're going to be not Shemitah produce. It doesn't matter when you plant it, it depends when you pick it. That's the year is defined by when you pick it. That would mean is, and I just told you, that if there's no Kedusha Shvius, then there's no Svichin either. So that would mean is, if a tomato plant was planted, started growing on Shemitah, and I picked it after Shemitah, what should be the din? You say, well, it doesn't have Kedusha Shvius, because it's picked after Shemitah, it depends on when you pick it. I picked it after Shvi'ah. It doesn't have Kedusha Shvi'ah, shouldn't have Nisa Svi'ah on it either. I just told you that if there's no Kedusha Shvi'ah, then there's no Svi'ah either. So if I picked the tomato on Tzon Gedalia in a year from now, it shouldn't have Kedusha Shvi'ah. Okay. So, in fact, that's not the truth. That's the letter
that
of the law.
That if I can have a no, something that's also doing Kedusha Shvi'ah while still on the tree, you should be able to do it. It's still on the bush.
Because?
It's not Kedusha until you pick it.
You mean if I can destroy it while on the tree?
Yeah, if I can do something for the carrot while it's in the ground.
That's an interesting question. I'm not sure.
If I'm picking the atheist, it's not Kodesh.
It's a good question. I'm not sure what
this is. I'm not sure.
Okay. So the even though in the letter rule that's correct, the Chacham were afraid that people would really pick things at the end of the 7th year, and they would hold it off until the 8th year. That's what they would do. So Chacham made a rule. It has a Svichin-like rule for a little bit after Shemitah, and that is like this. You can only eat vegetable after Shemitah if you meet one of the three criteria. The first is, eat any of these are good enough. The first is, if there's any possibility that it came from Chutz La'aretz, you're really allowed to eat it. Again, it was picked in the 8th year. Really, it was picked in the 8th year. Well, the produce that's out there was picked in the 8th year. But it's usher to eat it, unless it's a possibility it came from Chutz La'aretz, then the Chacham weren't worried. Another is, if it's already long enough after Shemitah that people could have planted after Shemitah and it would have grown by now, let's say tomatoes take 3 weeks to grow. I don't know. Let's say it takes 3 weeks to grow. So 3 weeks after Shemitah, you could eat these tomatoes, which are actually from during Shemitah, because there was enough time that someone could have planted them and they would have been harvested by now.
If you know that they're actually... No, or if you're not,
no. If it, in the mark, if it's enough time that it could have grown by now... That
you, saying, you don't know that these are picked on Shemitah, but you're just... But it's been 3-4 weeks, so therefore...
You're like, yeah. And the last thing is, if it comes Hanukkah, once Hanukkah comes, you let anything. This whole thing doesn't apply once Hanukkah comes, just like a cutoff. You know, it's like 2 months after Shemitah, just a cutoff. After Hanukkah, you can eat all these things.
Even if you don't know when it was... Maybe it's picked in the 7th year. You don't have to know.
I don't remember about that.
I don't remember.
The opposite case, what happens if I planted something today and it was picked on Shemitah? Okay, will be for next time. It fits with what we'll talk about next time.